We spoke last week about John the Baptist, about this time of Advent leading up to Christmas, when most of our Christmas scriptures are reserved for Christmas Eve and after, beforehand, in this time of anticipation and preparation, we deal with John the Baptist. And not even stories about when Jesus was getting ready to come in the manger, but stories years later when John had come out of the wilderness wearing his camel hair, eating his locusts and honey, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." We join up again with John this week as he preaches to the people about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. At least that's what we say. Keep Christ in Christmas. That's a popular one too. It's our holiday, we scream. Where are the neon mangers and the inflatable baby Jesuses? Where are the Yuletide greetings of Merry Christmas? You can take your happy holidays and throw it out the window. This is our holiday. It has a name, and that name is Christmas. We demand that all bow and pay homage to the greatest of holidays of our faith, except for Easter, which is really a much bigger holiday in Christianity, but we don't want to argue about an egg-laying bunny today. So right now, we talk about Christmas. We march into this holiday in faux outrage at how society doesn't respect this holiday we stole from the pagans so we'd have something fun to do at the winter solstice as well. We boisterously bellow, "Jesus is the reason," and expect the world to do something, right? What do we want them to do? Surely our thin indignation is supposed to lead to an action. Something's supposed to happen. We proclaim that Jesus is the reason, and the world says, "Oh, sorry, we forgot that," and then we want them to do something. Right? Jesus is the reason, so what? Surely it isn't just about what store clerks can say as we're leaving the store, right? This isn't just about how we want to dictate Madison Avenue's proper greeting protocol during the last half of the last yearly sales quarter, right? It's about more than that, right? This is Christmas. It is our holiday. Jesus is the reason for this season. So maybe they don't believe us anymore. Or maybe the world doesn't believe that we really believe that anymore. Maybe our outrage doesn't seem sincere. After all, our consumerism and materialism is just as pronounced as the world's, especially during this month of capitalistic engorgement. So maybe they don't think we're serious about it. Maybe they don't think we're committed. Maybe the fact that all we ever really want to do about this is shout slogans and gripe in the parking lot about how they said Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas, we might write our letter to the editor about the decline in proper holiday engagement, or give the store that had what we wanted when we wanted to buy it on hand, but whose clerk didn't do a good enough job spreading the good news, which is surely in their job description. Maybe they know. Maybe they know that as soon as the dust settles and New Year's arrives, we're going to drop this and go back to whatever was distracting us before the holiday war to settle the score was brought up by overindulgent talking heads who can't surely have ulterior agendas. Maybe they know. Maybe they know that we aren't really committed to some type of change because Jesus is the reason. So what if? What if Jesus was the reason for this season? What might that look like? What would be different? What would stand against the values of this world as something different, a different type of kingdom, a different type of life? What values and purposes that were actually God's values and purposes, what might that look like if we did put Christ back in Christmas? John said to the crowds that came to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Bear fruits worthy of repentance, fruits that are worth the repentance you have now received in Christ Jesus. Bear fruits, produce something, do something. Your words and your actions should produce something worthy of the repentance you have received. Something more than an annual gripe session about which stores put enough Jesus in their marketing and advertising as they're trying to sell us overproduced rickety plastic crap that's going to end up populating the back of my hall closet anyway. If Jesus is the reason for this season, then we should bear fruit worthy of repentance. So what would that look like? And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" And reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." What should we do? The crowds asked. And John said, "You should share. You should share what you have with a person who has nothing. You have two coats, they don't have any. You have some food, they don't have any. You have something to drink, they don't have any. You have some place to stay, they don't have any. You should share what you have." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Here was the deal about being a tax collector. Everybody hated you, but you got to steal from everyone. You were allowed to collect the tax that had to be sent back to Rome, to collect the tax that would stay there in your province, and then to collect any extra tax you wanted to add on. So if you wanted to put on a Mark tax, because Mark needed a new ride, I could put on a Mark tax on my taxes. And I got to keep that money. Tax collectors were famous for this, for stealing, for taking from people. So John says to them, just do your job. Don't steal from people anymore. And you think, okay, well, I can accomplish that at Christmas. This Christmas, I'm not going to steal from anybody. Right? That's an easy one. That should be fairly easy for us. I wonder, all those times when I'm grumpy because the store clerk hasn't said Merry Christmas to me, I wonder how many times my made-up outrage steals joy from someone. The berated, overworked, underpaid clerk who's on a 14-hour shift because it's the holiday season, so we have extended hours now. The people in line behind me who had to run out for one more item and then stand in line with 72 other people because there's not enough clerks at the registers. How did my righteous rage serve them? Did I steal joy from them? In my interactions throughout this month, are people better off or worse off after they encounter me in this season of hope and joy and peace and love? Are we stealing the joy from those around us? The soldiers also asked him, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages. He was basically telling them, be kind to people. Don't threaten them. Don't scare them. Be kind. You know, people don't always understand our motives. They don't always understand our language. They don't always understand our customs. But you know what people do understand? They understand kindness. I had to run to Aldi's yesterday to get something, and I hate shopping in this month because no matter what store you go into, no matter when you go in, it's always packed. Everybody's got their Christmas shopping going on. There's way too many cars in the parking lot, way too many people in the stores for my comfort level, but I had to go to Aldi's to get something, so I stopped by and I had to park in the next county because the parking lot was full, so I had to walk all that way. Halfway there, I remembered I didn't have a quarter for my cart. See, Aldi's has this great system where to get a shopping cart, you got to put a quarter in for it. And you wouldn't think that would make much of a difference, but they don't have carts left in their parking lot because everybody wants their quarter back. Right? I've done it. I'll walk all the way back across. I won't leave it. Just, you know how we at Hy-Vee, you just push it up on the island because you're too far out to take it back. Don't do that at Aldi's. You take it all the way back up because I want my quarter. So I'm walking back across the parking lot. I put my stuff in my car. I'm taking the long walk back. And as I get up there, there's several people waiting to get a cart. And there's this one little woman, and she's about as big as Annette. She was like a little hobbit there standing next to me. And she didn't speak English real well. And I saw her. She had her quarter in her hand. She saw me walking up. And rather than getting into the melee of other people getting carts, she turned to me and she went to hand me the quarter, and I said, no, ma'am, it's fine, just take the cart. And she said, no, no, and she tried to hand me the quarter, and I just put my hands up, and I said, Merry Christmas. I turned around, I walked back across the parking lot to my van. As I'm taking that long walk back, I'm walking a little taller, because I'm like, look what a good person I am. I saved someone a quarter. Without a doubt, that's the least amount of money I've ever spent on a gift. 25 cents is what I gave her, right? Took my card up and said, here, ma'am, you don't have to wait. Merry Christmas. Keep your 25 cents. But when I said Merry Christmas, she smiled and she nodded. And she said, thank you. People may not understand a lot of what we do. They may not understand our theology or our faith or our belief, but she understood kindness. If Jesus is the reason, then share what you have. Bring joy. Don't steal it. And be kind. As the people were filled with expectation, all were questioning in their heart concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. John answered them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. We should be different. We should stand out during this season. This is, in fact, our holiday, our season. It should be different for us. We should act different. We should be different. John is talking about Jesus coming to separate those who believe and those who don't. And how will he know who believes? Because the ones who have believed have seen grace and have seen joy and have seen hope, and they're trying to give it away. If Jesus is the reason, then we should be sharing what we have with those who don't have. We should be bringing joy into this season, not stealing it. We should be kind. It is a special season. If you want the world to see that, to realize that, to know how special this season is, feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Help the widow and orphan. Welcome the stranger and the alien among you. And quit worrying about how somebody greets you in this holiday season. Be the greeting you want to see. If Jesus is the reason, act like it. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did that happen? When did we see you hungry and thirsty and naked and in prison and sick? And Jesus will say, last Christmas, when you acted like I really was the reason for the season.